You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast, the Friday edition of this show. As always, I'm your host, Mark King, for this show. Make sure you're following the show on Twitter, at Locked On Grizz. Make sure you're following me on Twitter, at King underscore producer. If you have a minute, please go rate, review the show on iTunes. That really, really helps us grow and get bigger and have a bigger audience and have more people listening. So if you have a minute, please take the opportunity and take the time to go leave us a review on iTunes. Again, I really appreciate that. It would help us out a lot. Grizzlies traveled to Sacramento tonight to face the Kings for the third time. We'll talk about this game as well as the Lakers game coming up on Sunday over the weekend. We'll preview these two games today and talk about a little bit more about Marc Gasol. But first, let's get into this Sacramento game. First, the game coming up tonight. The Grizzlies have faced the Sacramento Kings twice already. They have won one and they have lost one. Last time they played, the Grizzlies won 112-104. De'Aaron Fox has always been a factor in these games. I think De'Aaron Fox is a legitimate budding superstar in this league. I mean, he is so fun to watch. Really good. He just is so quick and just so impressive with the ball. Last time these guys played, Jaren Jackson had a hell of a game, 27 points, 6 rebounds, and Marc Gasol had a great game as well, 19 points, 14 rebounds. So this is a team in the Sacramento Kings that, are, you know, really and truthfully, both these games coming up over the weekend that, you know, Marc Gasol's got to be there. Marc Gasol has to be effective. The Sacramento Kings are now second in pace and 15th in the offensive rating and 23rd in defensive rating. You know, they're fourth in points per game, 115 per game, but they're 28th in allowing points per game at 116. So these two, the Kings and the Lakers have a very much a similar style. They play very quick. They get up and down the court. They have a lot of younger players, and so they use that to their advantage, and they're able to get up and down, not necessarily with the most effective shots in the game, but they play quickly, and especially the Kings. Their idea is they want to turn you over. They're third at causing turnovers in the league, and they want to turn you over, get easy buckets in transition, and they just take a lot of shots. I mean, they're seventh in the league in field goal attempts. I mean, they literally are just taking a large number of shots every single game. Their rebounding is not very good, and neither are the Lakers. Again, these are two very, very similar teams. But what they do is, like I said, they turn you over a lot. They create points through fast breaks, through turnovers. They really, really move the ball around. They use their quickness and their athleticism to their advantage. And something the Grizzlies have been able to do in the past against other teams is slow teams down. They've been able to do that. We've seen on several occasions against different teams, they've been able to slow teams down. But the Grizzlies are going to be facing a Kings team with no Marvin Bagley. He's out. Still haven't seen him, any update with him. I believe he'll be out for another, at least another week and a half. So no Marvin Bagley. Bogdan Bogdanovic is day-to-day. Didn't play Wednesday against the Thunder. So there is no update yet that I've seen on Bogdan Bogdanovic. And those two players right there are 11 points, excuse me, are 12 points and 14 points respectively. So they're going to be really, really hurting for players. I mean, they have other players that can play, but, you know, they're going to be really hurting for points. And so the Grizzlies really, really and truthfully ought to win this game. And Marc Gasol should have 18 shot attempts. I mean, you're going to be going up against Willie Cauley-Stein, who is Marc Gasol has shown to be very effective against in every other game he's played against him. So this is a game where Marc Gasol has got to take advantage. The front court, really. Marc Gasol and Jaren Jackson have got to take advantage of of being better. I mean, they are. That's just what it comes down to. They are better than Willie Cauley-Stein and better than whoever they're going to roll out in the front court for this game against Jaren Jackson Jr. So the Grizzlies have to take advantage of that. They have to take advantage of the times when you have better players against crappier players. That's just what it boils down to. Not that Willie Cauley-Stein's a crappy player, but he's not as good as Marc Gasol. And Marc Gasol, if he lets himself get pushed around and lets himself, just be passive and not take shots, I mean, he's got to be. You don't have to have Marc Gasol be super aggressive, but you have to have him at least do something against inferior players. And so hopefully the Grizzlies, it's still playing the Kings on the road, and they've already lost once on the road to the Kings. So it's not like it's something that you can just click your heels and it's just going to ultimately decide to win because they're missing players, because as we've seen every other time the Grizzlies play somebody, they can play up or down to their competition. So the Grizzlies are definitely going to have their hands full, but I think this is a winnable game for them, especially if the Kings are missing some players. Obviously the Grizzlies are still hobbled. It seems like every player has gone down with something. Jamaica Green went down the other night. Kyle Anderson's been obviously dealing with his own issues. Marc Gasol's been dealing with issues. Mike Conley's been dealing with issues. Everybody's been dealing with issues. But I think this is a game they should be able to power through and hopefully win. It's really going to depend on what the front court does, what Jaren Jackson Jr. and Marc Gasol are able to do in the front court. And so you would think that Marc Gasol is able to take advantage of the situation that he's in. And that goes for Ivan Rabb as well. Hopefully Ivan Rabb will get more playing time. Joakim Noah, don't know if he's out or not. He's still day-to-day. But hopefully Ivan Rabb gets more playing time. Ivan Rabb should be playing in front of Joakim Noah every step of the way. I'm sorry, but Joakim Noah was fun while it lasted, but he is Joakim Noah is averaging a cool 4 points and 3 rebounds. And Ivan Rabb did more than that in his first game in 6 minutes than Joakim Noah's done in any game he's played. There's no reason Joakim Noah should be playing 14 minutes. Ivan Rabb should be getting every one of them. If you want a guy who wants to rebound and be active, and that's all he wants to do. I mean, Ivan Rabb is going to rebound you the ball, be active, get the ball back to Mike Conley on offensive rebounds, and reset the offense. And take good shots when he's available to take them in certain spots. He's not going to go out there and lose the game for you. Clearly, as we've seen so far in other games, Ivan Rabb deserves the opportunity, and JB should give it to him. And we'll talk more about that later in the third segment, about just JB and the idea of what's going on with the team itself in that last segment, just a little bit more in depth than we did in the last few podcasts. But Grizzlies should win this game against the Kings. I think that they have a really good shot at it, especially if the Kings have several key players that they usually count on for points that will be missing. Definitely Marvin Bagley will be out. Again, Bogdan Bogdanović should probably be a game-time decision, so we'll see about that one. But coming in after the break, we will talk about this Los Angeles Lakers game coming up on Sunday. That is a game I do not think they will win, and we'll talk about that more coming up. Welcome back to the show. Again, we'll talk a little bit more about this Lakers game coming up on Sunday, and then the last segment of the show, we'll talk a little bit more about Marc Gasol, JB Bickerstaff, Jaren Jackson, what more they should be doing to get those guys the ball. Lakers game. The Lakers beat the dog mess out of the Grizzlies last time they played them in the Forum not too long ago, just a little over a week and a half ago. 111-88 was the final score in that game. Josh Hart, 16 points. Kyle Kuzma, 20 points. LeBron James only had 20 points. Best player in the world, and he only has 20 points, and they still win by a lot. They still beat the dog mess out of you. It was a terrible game. It's actually a game that Wayne Selden was better than he has been in a long, long time. But Mike Conley, 12 points. Marc Gasol, 11 points. Jaren Jackson, 11 points. Just not good for any portion of the Grizzlies. They had Shelvin Mack out there 22 minutes a game with 6 points. They literally played everybody, but some of that was garbage time. This is another game that's very similar to the Kings game. The Lakers play very, very quickly. They have athleticism on their side. They have some younger players on their side of things. They are third in the NBA in pace. Kings are second. So again, it's very similar. They have offensive rating of 17th and defensive rating of 10th. They're a little better defensive team than the Kings are, but the offense is the same. Their points per game is 9th in the NBA, so they score a lot of points. They get up and down, but they're usually not. They sometimes cannot be very efficient with their offense, but they're a better defensive team than the Grizzlies have seen seen from the Kings. They do have some injuries as well. Brandon Ingram just announced on the 18th that he's day-to-day. He did not play in Tuesday's game against the Nets. JaVale McGee also day-to-day. He's been sick. He's out. He did not play Tuesday's game against the Nets either. So, again, this is a game where Marcus Gasol is just better than JaVale McGee, or he's better than Tyson Chandler. He's better than the front court that they're going to roll out for you. And Kyle Kuzma and Jaren Jackson Jr., that's a great matchup. I like Kyle Kuzma is a good player, but I think Jaren Jackson Jr. is better. And the Grizzlies are going to have to let him have a long leash and just really go out Kyle Kuzma, or just anyone, really. I mean, if he gets the ball and sees someone in front of him, go score the ball. But the Grizzlies' front court is better than the Lakers' front court, period, end of story. And if Marc Gasol comes up with 10 shots or is 4 for 13 or keeps passing the ball on the perimeter and doesn't do anything, he might as well not even play. He might as well not even be out there if that's what he's going to do. So we talked about a couple shows ago, is a 50% Marc Gasol better than 100, or better than no Marc Gasol? And I think at that time I said probably yes, but he was also shooting the ball. He was actually, he was doing something. He was missing shots, and he was not super effective, but he was taking shots. And if Marc Gasol is not going to take shots, if he's not going to do anything out there, he might as well not be out there. The Grizzlies have to take advantage of their front court in these two games. I think that is obviously superior strength. Their strength in these two games, and they have to look. They have to try to do that. The Lakers are 10th in the league in steals, 4th in the league in blocks. They turn people over, 14th in the league. Not great, not terrible. But again, that's another team. They take a lot of shots as well. They're 11th in the league in field goal attempts. They create a lot of possessions. They take a lot of shots. They're 11th in the league in just points in general. So this is a team, again, that is both teams, and the Kings and Lakers are very similar in the fact that they get to the bucket, they score a lot of points in transition. They try to turn you over, try to get steals, turnovers, creating easy buckets. They don't shoot the three ball particularly well. So they use their athleticism and their youth as a strength, and that is exactly how they try to win games. And they have won games. They are sitting at 4th in the NBA Western Conference at 18-13. Kings are 10th, tied actually with the Grizzlies. So beating the Kings will obviously be better than beating the Lakers. It's the one they think I should win. They'll have won that. Hopefully, have won that season series as of right now with the Kings. Lakers, they've only played them once. Obviously, they lost. But like I said, again, the Lakers is going to be a much tougher game. It's going to be obviously at Staples Center in LA. So that's going to be a much, much tougher game for the Grizzlies. And if they're missing Brandon, if the Lakers are missing Brandon Ingram, though, if they're missing JaVale McGee, I mean, those are, that's another 25 points. Brandon Ingram is 15 points a game. JaVale McGee is 11 points a game. So it's, it's another 15 points. So, yeah, if the Grizzlies can maybe catch another team that has some injury issues like the Grizzlies do, then that's a totally different story. You never really know what's going to happen whenever some of your better players, some of your players are out that you expect to contribute from, expect to get contributions from every night. So same thing with the Kings. If the Grizzlies are definitely going to catch the Kings without Marvin Bagley, but some of these other guys that are day-to-day, JaVale McGee, I'd assume he'll play. That's on Sunday. Same thing with Brandon Ingram. I would assume he'll play. He has suffering from a sprained left ankle, so you never know. Those things could linger. JaVale McGee was just sick, so you would expect him to play on Sunday because that was reported on Tuesday. So you expect him to be there. But even if he is there, even if JaVale McGee is there, Marc Gasol is better than JaVale McGee. End of story. Period. And so he has to use that to advantage. And if Marc Gasol can use that to his advantage, and he can be the aggressor on offense against inferior competition, that's a game changer for the Grizzlies. While he was playing earlier in the season, just dominating every center he played, that is a totally different Grizzlies team than one they're seeing right now. And we'll talk more about that coming up after the break. We'll talk a little bit more about the Grizzlies just in general after the break. Marc Gasol, JB Bickerstaff. So stay tuned for that. Welcome back to the show. I just pick up where we left off. And I think that I've had a lot of patience with JB, a lot of patience with Mark, a lot of patience with JB being able to shoot or not let Jaren play or let whatever you want to call what he's doing with Jaren. But I think it's not good for the team. We're seeing just some inexplicable rotations, some inexplicable ways they're playing people and the ways their offense is going. I mean, I've had a lot of patience with JB, and at times on this show, I've even praised JB, but unfortunately, the Grizzlies have to hold Marc Gasol accountable, and that starts with JB Bickerstaff. You have to hold Marc accountable. If he's out there and he's not shooting the damn ball, you have to tell him, you have to go up to him, and no matter who he is, superstar or not superstar, you don't have to demean him, but you have to at least, look, man, you're our best player. We need to shoot the effing ball. Please, for the love of God, please shoot the ball, because you are better than everybody else on this court right now that is, 7 foot or taller. I mean, Marc Gasol has to be aggressive. And if he's not going to be aggressive, if this is the Marc Gasol you're going to get, and if he's still hurt, then sit him down. You're better off with Marc Gasol on the bench, resting, and hopefully being good when you get, resting two games in a row, and hopefully you can win the games against the Cavs and the Celtics, and they come to town. So Marc Gasol is not doing anybody any favors out there by passing up shots again and again and again. And there's no reason that Jaren Jackson Jr. should not be playing 30 minutes a night. There's zero. Joakim Noah doesn't need any minutes. I mean, it was cool. It was a fun experiment, but you brought Joakim Noah in here to rebound the ball, and he's rebounding like two and three rebounds a game. He's not doing you any favors. There's no reason that Joakim Noah should be seeing any time on the court unless someone is injured. The rotation should be Marc Gasol and Jaren Jackson starting, and then Jamalcolm Green and Ivan Rabb off the bench. That's it. End of story. And Ivan Rabb should be soaking up almost every minute that Joakim Noah is leaving around, or give the damn minutes to Jaren Jackson Jr. There's no reason Jaren Jackson Jr. shouldn't be playing 30 minutes a night. Let him foul out every game. Let him foul on the halftime. I don't care. Because Jaren Jackson Jr. is 19 years old, and he should be learning from every experience out there. You can't learn if you're on the bench. You can't learn from the experience of the foul that you committed if you're sitting on the bench. And Jaren Jackson Jr.'s high nights are going to be real high. We've seen that before. He's scoring 27, 30, 33. The nights when he's on, he will be on. And those nights could turn you from these crap-ass 10-point, 9-point, 7-point, 6-point losses into wins. You believe Jaren Jackson out there, Jr. out there for, instead of 25 minutes, you play him 34, 35 minutes, then though he might have, instead of 16 points, have 26 points or 30 points. There's no reason that Jaren Jackson Jr. should be sitting on the bench and should not be playing 34, 35 minutes a game. Treat Jaren Jackson Jr. like the third scorer that he's supposed to be. If that's what you think of Jaren Jackson Jr., and you should, Mike Conley should be your number one option. Marc Gasol should be your number two, and Jaren Jackson should be number three. But you have to treat Jaren Jackson Jr. like your number three option. If you're not going to play him like your number three option, he's not going to get number three. He's not going to get the third option points. It's not how it works. And so, whatever you think of Marc Gasol, clearly Marc Gasol is not. He might even be the number two option right now. Mike Conley's your clear and is your best chance to score baskets. So Mike Conley's number one. And hell, Jaren Jackson might be your number two option. Might be at this point, the way Marc Gasol is playing. The way Marc Gasol is playing early in the year, I'd say no. But the way he's playing right now, it's a totally different story. So if the Grizzlies want to win games, then you have some of the best one and two front court options in the entire league sitting on your roster in Marc Gasol and Jaren Jackson Jr. Figure out how to get them the ball every time down the floor. If Marc Gasol or Jaren Jackson Jr. doesn't touch the ball every time down the floor, it's a travesty. You're running the wrong offense. However you want to say it. But if they're not touching the ball, they're your two best players, especially in games coming up where the front court on the other two teams is really, really inferior to what your two players are going. I mean, you're doing it wrong. Marc Gasol, Jaren Jackson Jr. should be touching the ball, at least one of them touching the ball in every offensive possession. And you have, quite frankly, some of the best two front courts. And on any given night, you're probably going to have the best front court that you against most teams. I mean, with the one and two, like, you know, some nights you might have someone might be better, but like just average of the two players, you're most likely going to have more nights that you're better than the other teams. And so you have to take advantage of that. You have to use that to advantage. And it starts with getting Jaren Jackson more minutes, 35 minutes and get 35 minutes a night. That's what he should be playing. You look at these other teams. And if you look at Sacramento Kings, let's look at, let me pull back up Sacramento Kings minutes per night. You have De'Aaron Fox playing 31 minutes a night. There's no reason he shouldn't be because he's young. He's 21 years old. He's a second year player. He should be playing 31 minutes. Buddy Hill, 31 minutes a night. These young players, they can handle the load of heavy minutes. There's no reason that they shouldn't be playing that many minutes per night. Look at LeBron James, who's older than everybody else, playing 34. Kyle Kuzma playing 32. Kyle Kuzma is in the same boat that Jaren Jackson is. He should be playing, Jaren Jackson should be playing at least 32, if not 34, 35 minutes a night. And that's where you start with the Grizzlies if you want to win basketball games. The other part of it is just, I don't understand the inexplicable playing of lineups that don't work, or realizing they don't work too late. You know, they've seen a lot of that, just players that aren't playing well. And for some reason, I was singing the praises of Shelvin Mack this year, and I'll be first one to admit that that was probably a little too soon. He has not been good as of late. He has come crashing back to earth, and, you know, Shelvin Mack probably should be in the spot that Javon Carter is, and Javon Carter should probably be where Shelvin Mack is. If you want to really develop talent, that's how you develop talent. And there's no reason Javon Carter should be sitting on the bench or playing the hustle. Just at this point, I mean, you can't get any worse than what Shelvin Mack is right now and what he's given you. So you might as well. Not like Javon Carter was good in the last game that he played. He wasn't good. He wasn't really good at all. And hell, nobody really was. Outside of Jaren Jackson Jr. But if you want to develop talent, you have to put same thing. It's the same thing with Javon Carter. It is with Jaren Jackson Jr. You're never going to learn if you're sitting on the bench. You're never going to learn from the mistake that you don't know what you're missing. And so right now, what you're getting from Shelvin Mack is basically what you would get from Javon Carter. It's the same thing. Some nights it might be bad, but Javon's high nights, just like Jaren's high nights, might be really, really good. And you might have those more often. I think you're going to have those more often than not than what you have right now with Shelvin Mack. Shelvin Mack's good every once in a while, but I think every Javon Carter might be better in those spurts. He might be better more often than you're going to get with Shelvin Mack. And so there's no reason. I'm not saying Shelvin Mack shouldn't play, but Shelvin Mack should not be getting 24, 25 minutes a night. It should be more like 14 or 15. And Javon Carter should be getting at least 15 minutes a night as well. So, I think those are two of the biggest problems with this Grizzlies team at the moment, that they just don't, that JB doesn't recognize the issues that it seems like everybody else can see pretty visibly. I get that they're rookies, but you have to let them play. You have to let them play through it, especially with someone like Jaren Jackson, who is a rookie, but a really, really, really good rookie. I mean, very, very good, very, very talented offensively. And so there just comes a point where you just have to recognize that. You have to just let, no matter the youth, no matter what you think of him as a young player or rookie, sometimes they're just really, really good basketball players. And if you want to win basketball games, it starts with putting the best basketball players on the floor. And JB said that time and time again, that he's going to use his best players down the stretch. Well, guess what? Jaren Jackson is one of your best players, so it's time to use him. Hopefully the Grizzlies can get a win out of the Kings game because that's the one I think that's most possible. The Lakers is a very different story. I think they'll probably lose that game. Hopefully they can go at least 1-4 on this road trip. I think if they can do that at this point and salvage that with the way they played, it will be a win for this road trip. Again, appreciate you guys joining me on the Friday episode. Make sure you go subscribe in iTunes. Make sure, again, like I asked earlier, please go rate, review in iTunes. It really, really helps us show out. Make sure you're following me on Twitter at King_producer. Make sure you're following the show on Twitter at LockedOnGrizz. You can find me on Twitter. You can find us online if you need to email us at LockedOnGrizz@gmail.com. If you want to be a featured sponsor on the show, please email me there and we'll get in touch with you. We're looking for all kinds of sponsors. It's a great spot to have your business featured every day on this podcast. If you want to be a featured sponsor, email me at LockedOnGrizz@gmail.com. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts, or online at LockedOnGrizzlies.com.